ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 12, Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge, text number 14 to 15. Tasmat tvam udavotsrijya chodanam pratichodanam pravritim cha nivritim cha shrotavyam shrutam eva cha tasmatvam uda vochrijya chodanam pratichodanam pravritim cha nivritim cha shrutavyam shrutam eva cha mamekam eva sharanam आत्मनाम सर्वदेहिनाम याहि सर्वात्मा भावेना मया स्याहि अकुत्तो भया तस्मात्वं उदवोत्सृज्य शोधनाम प्रतिचोदनाम प्रवृत्तिं च निवृत्तिं च श्रोतव्यं श्रुतमेव च मामेकमेव शरणम् आत्मनाम सर्वदेहिनाम् याहि सर्वात्मा भावेन मया स्याहि अकुतो भया तस्मात् देयरफॉर त्वं यू Uddhava, O Uddhava, Utsrijya, giving up, Chodanam, the regulations of the Vedas, Prati Chodanam, the injunctions of supplementary Vedic literatures, Pravritim, injunctions, Cha, and Nivritim, prohibitions, Cha, also, Shrotavyam, that which is to be heard. Shrutam, that which has been heard. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Mam, to me. Ekam, alone. Eva, actually. Sharanam, shelter. Atmanam, the supersoul within the heart. Sarva dehinam, of all conditioned souls. Yahi, you must go. Sarva Atma Bhavena, with exclusive devotion. Maya, by my mercy. Seya, you should be. He, certainly. Akuta Bhayaha, free from fear in all circumstances. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, abandon the Vedic mantras as well as the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures and their positive and negative injunctions. Disregard that which has been heard and that which is to be heard. Simply take shelter of me alone, for I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, situated within the heart of all conditioned souls. Take shelter of me wholeheartedly and by my grace be free from fear in all circumstances. Purport. Sri Uddhava inquired from Lord Krishna about the symptoms of saintly persons and liberated souls, and the Lord has replied in terms of different levels of spiritual advancement, distinguishing between those who are able to understand Lord Krishna to be the principal goal of life, and those loving devotees who accept Lord Krishna and devotional service to Him as the only goal of life. Lord Krishna also mentioned that He is captured by His loving devotees and even by those who sincerely associate with His loving devotees. Among all the devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan were described by the Lord as having achieved such a rare state of pure devotional service that Lord Krishna personally feels constantly indebted to them. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna previously kept the gopis' love for him concealed in his heart because of its confidential nature and the Lord's own gravity. Finally, however, even Lord Krishna could not remain silent about the intense love of the gopis. And thus, in these verses, the Lord reveals to Uddhava how the gopis loved him in Vrindavan and brought him fully under their control. The Lord would relax in secret places with the loving gopis, and by conjugal spontaneous affection, the greatest love was exchanged between them. As explained by the Lord in Gita, Bhagavad Gita, one cannot achieve the perfection of life merely by renouncing the material world or by executing ordinary sectarian religious principles. One must actually understand the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by associating with His pure devotees, one must learn to love the Lord in His personal original form. This love may be expressed in either the conjugal, paternal, fraternal, or serving rasa, or relationship. The Lord has elaborately explained to Uddhava the system of philosophical analysis of the material world, and now He clearly concludes that it is useless for Uddhava to waste time in furtive activities or mental speculation. Actually, Lord Krishna is hinting that Uddhava should assimilate the example of the gopis and try to advance further in Krishna consciousness by following in the footsteps of the cowherd damsels of Raj. Any conditioned soul who is unsatisfied with the cruel laws of nature, which impose disease, old age and death, should understand that Lord Krishna can deliver all beings from the problems of material existence. There is no need to entangle oneself in unauthorized sectarian rituals, injunctions or prohibitions. One should simply surrender to Lord Krishna, following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna himself. By the authorized regulated process of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness, one easily achieves spiritual perfection. This translation again. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, abandon the Vedic mantras as well as the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures and their positive and negative injunctions. Disregard that which has been heard and that which is to be heard. Simply take shelter of me alone, for I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, situated within the heart of all conditioned souls. Take shelter of me wholeheartedly and by my grace be free from fear in all circumstances. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padaya Bhutale Shrimate Devamrita Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharine Nirvisheshakshane Udipashiradeshtarine Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shlakya Chakshur Unmitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, in this section of Bhagavatam, this chapter is entitled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. And also in the last chapter we see Krishna is emphasizing to associate with devotees. That in a verse, in the 25th verse of the previous chapter, Krishna mentions that to Uddhava, that by associating with pure devotees, one can actually cross over material existence and go back to Godhead. So when Uddhava heard this, he puts a question to Krishna. He asks him, because he has heard that by associating with devotees, one can go back to Godhead. So he's asking, what type of devotee should I associate with? How do I know who's a pure devotee? And what type of devotional service should be rendered which is approved by devotees and which is actually pleasing to the Lord? And in other words, what kind of devotional service is actually worthy of being offered unto Krishna? So this question is very, very important. You know, anyone who is pursuing Krishna consciousness seriously, he will also ponder upon this question. And Uddhava is asking this question for our sake. He's asking, what type of devotee should I associate with? You know, how do I know who's a pure devotee? What are his qualities and symptoms? So this is actually a sign of seriousness, because as we know, there are different levels of devotees. There's the Kanishtha Adhikaris, Madhyam Adhikaris, Uttam Adhikaris. So in order to progress in any field, one needs good association. It's like we see there like at home, my father has subscribed to so many business magazines, Business Weekly, Business Today, Economic Times, you know, so many magazines, they come on a weekly, fortnightly, monthly basis. So if somebody is very interested in progressing in the business side, you know, he will associate with such clubs, you know, subscribe to such magazines, so where they can, you know, even like reading is also associating with people. So, you know, so in this way they progress. So one who is similarly, one who is serious in Krishna consciousness, he will seek out very good association, because through association we can mold ourselves, because we can actually judge ourselves by the quality of association around us. You know, if we want to see where we are at, you know, even materially, we should simply look who's around us, who's our friends. So according to them, our mentality will develop. So one who wants to progress in Krishna consciousness, obviously he will look for the, you know, best devotee association. So Uddhava is asking this question, you know. So how do I, what are the qualities in the symptoms? And then Krishna goes on to describe the different symptoms and qualities of a devotee. You know, remember that verse, there were so many qualities, and it's like a 5-6 page purport. The different qualities of a devotee are described. And interestingly, it's mentioned that one doesn't have to separately endeavor to develop these qualities. That one, a devotee who engages in devotional service, naturally these qualities develop. And then also Uddhava is asking how, you know, what kind of devotional service is actually pleasing to the Lord. Yeah. So this is also a very important question and very relevant to us, you know, that, you know, what type of service is actually pleasing to the Lord. And this is a sign of actually personalism. You know, if a devotee is considering like this, what kind of service is pleasing to Krishna, this shows that he's conscious of Krishna as a person. Otherwise, it is all impersonal. Just like in a relationship, you know, one partner is always conscious of what is pleasing to the other partner or other person in the relationship. Because if that is not there, then that is very dry. It is very impersonal. You know, after a while, there will be some problems. So similarly, a serious devotee, he will be always conscious that how he is performing his service, is it actually pleasing to the Lord, you know, and how he'll find out that if it's actually pleasing to the Lord in the association of devotees under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, he'll come to know that what is actually pleasing to the Lord, is my service pleasing to the Lord, and he'll be always thinking, how can I improve my service? So I was hearing one lecture of my spiritual master. He was saying, no matter what service we do, whether it's sweeping the floor or, you know, managing or book distribution or Harinam, he said there are unlimited ways in which we can be creative, in which we can actually increase our service. We can make it better for Krishna. You know, no matter whatever service it is. So, and when we think like this, how to make our service better, Krishna actually gives us the intelligence to, in order we can develop our service. So this is actually a sign of personalism, and in the world these days we see that things are getting very more and more impersonal. You know, relationships are getting impersonal. There's so many impersonal ways of communication. You know, it's getting more and more impersonal. So here also we see that in this verse, Krishna is mentioning to Uddhava to abandon the Vedic mantras as well as the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures. So we'll see now what it means by supplementary Vedic literatures and Vedic mantras. So we know that the Vedic knowledge is divided into two parts. This is the Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is that which is not changed, you know, that which is spoken by the Lord and it remains the same eternally. And Smriti is that which is composed by great sages and, you know, which basically supports the Shruti. And it can change from, you know, one age to the other. So, you know, in the Vedas, sorry, in the Shruti comes is basically the Vedas. And the Vedas was actually all one body. Now Vyasadeva actually divided it into four, you know, but before there was only the Vedas, and people could actually remember it, you know. There was no need to put it down, but, you know, predicting the age of Kali, so Vyasadeva actually put it into writing, divided it into four so that it's easy to study. So I was actually, looking up about the tree of Vedic knowledge. So, you know, there's the four Vedas, the Rig Veda, Yajur, Sama, Atharva Veda. And, you know, the Rig Veda concerns hymns, has to do with hymns. And Yajur, I think Yajur is, I can't remember. So, under the Vedas, there's the Samhitas. There's so many Samhitas. Then, Samhitas is basically mantras. And there's the Brahmanas. In other words, the ritual explanation of the mantras. Different rituals. These are given in the Brahmana section. There is the Aranyakas, which is the esoteric explanation of the meanings of the Vedas. And as we know, the famous Upanishads. Upanishads is also Shruti, actually. So, you know, Upanishads concerns some transcendental knowledge in it. And then in the Shruti, you know, in the tree, there is the Upavedas. Upavedas is Vedas for which help us in our material living. Like there is the Ayurveda, there is Dhanurveda, Jyotirveda, you know, all these, which have to do with our material side, how to live in this world. You know. Then there is the Vedangas. You know, this also has like six divisions under it. This is the, in which there's the chandas, how to do the meters, the meter, you know. And there is Nirukta, Vyakarna. Vyakarna means grammar. So all this is actually very, very complicated to learn the grammar, you know. And the Shiksha, pronunciation, how to pronounce the Vedas. So, and Kalpa, ritual details, how to execute rituals in great details. And actually I met this one sadhu who comes to the temple here, and he told me his son has studied Yajur Veda for 12 years. So we can see actually this takes a long time actually, you know, if one has to cultivate this knowledge. And then there's the Smriti. Smriti is also actually very, very vast. So what Krishna is talking here is talking about the Smritis. The Vedic supplementary literature is the Smriti, which basically supports the Shruti. Because Shruti is actually very difficult to understand. One has to be very, very qualified in order to understand. So, in Smriti is composed in such a way that most people can understand. So in the Smritis is the Puranas comes in the Smritis. Puranas is basically historical, you know, stories and events, itihasas. So, you know, the Puranas are 18 minor Puranas and 18 major Puranas. So in the major Puranas, they're divided into three categories: in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. So, and then there's the Pancharatras. Pancharatras deal with Vaishnava worship. And then there's the Tantras. You know, Tantras is knowledge which is spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati. And they are divided into three. There is the Tamasic Tantras, Rajasic and Sattvic. And then there's the ritual sutras, you know, and ritual sutras is again divided into four categories. There's the Shrauta sutras, Griya sutras, Dharma sutras, and Dharma shastras. So, you know, Dharma sutras is the law books, Dharma shastras, like Manusamhita, how to basically live in this world. And Shrauta sutras explains how to conduct yajñas. So, this is again expanding on the Shruti, the Smriti. And then, under Smriti, there's the six darshanas. You know, we can see this is actually a very vast body of knowledge. And under the six darshanas comes the Vedanta, Vedanta Sutra. There's the Mimamsa. There's the Nyaya. You know, basically, you know, logic, all that. How, you know, how to use logic. There is Vaisheshika. In other words, metaphysics, philosophy of existence. There is the Yoga, Patanjali Sutras of Yoga, you know, famous. And there is the Sankhya philosophy. This is by the atheistic Sankhya, atheistic Kapila, metaphysics again. So we can see actually As Krishna mentioned in this verse, that the Vedic supplementary knowledge is actually very, very vast. Even the Shrutis is very vast. So here Krishna is saying to disregard all of that. So we have to understand what Krishna means by disregard. Disregard doesn't mean that one has to reject the Smritis, you know, reject the Shrutis. No. Disregard means to disregard the concepts which are not favorable to devotional service. So just like in the 18 Puranas, as they divided into the three modes, in many of the Puranas, some demigods are described to be the supreme. You know, but if one reads the Puranas collectively, he'll come to the understanding that Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead, one and only Vishnu. So generally, what happens when one, you know, reads the Smriti, these books of knowledge, one gets caught up, you know, one gets caught up in the details, and it's hard to progress further. But if one can read them in a broad perspective, he can get the conclusion. So that's why the guidance of a spiritual master is required in order to understand such knowledge. And here Krishna is saying to disregard the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures and to abandon the Vedic mantras. So Krishna is saying to disregard, in other words, because if we analyze what's in the Shruti and Smriti, it's all about, there's the Karma Kanda, there's the Jnana section, and there's the Bhakti section, and the Mystic Yoga section. So Krishna is saying to reject the Karma, Jnana, and Yoga, you know, and simply to follow Bhakti. In other words, Krishna in this verse is giving the conclusion, and the conclusion is actually to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to worship Him. And actually, we see this verse is very similar to a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Paritajya, Maam Ekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tam Sarva Bhapevyo, Moksha Shami Masaja. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. Do not fear, I will free you from all reactions. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks all the different philosophies. You know, Krishna talks about, the renounced order of life, yoga, abandoning attachment to the results, nishkama karma, gyan, the mystical process of yoga, you know, ashtanga yoga. He describes all of that. He describes varnashram dharma. And then he says, okay, now, you know, sarva dharman paritajya, maam ekam sharanam raja. You reject all that and you surrender unto me. So this verse is also maybe an expansion of that verse. So Krishna is telling to go back to Godhead in the express way, you know, to take the just like even when you're traveling on the freeway, there's an express lane. So you know, so you can, if you can travel on the express lane, or you can go in the other lanes that are a bit slow, or if we can take the elevator, or you can climb all the steps. So Krishna says to take the elevator back to Godhead. You know, so actually we are very fortunate that we have been given the process of Bhakti Yoga directly. You know, we are engaging in the 9 processes of devotional service, and that this is actually the express way back to Godhead. And it's also very interesting. It's actually, as devotees, it's interesting to read in the Bhagavad Gita the different philosophies and different religions Krishna explains, because one actually gets a deeper appreciation for Bhakti. And as in that verse, Krishna mentions that if one surrenders unto Krishna, he takes away all the sinful reactions. And elsewhere it's mentioned that that the sinful reactions are an impediment unto surrendering unto Krishna. You know, one doesn't get the determination. But Krishna nullifies that point by saying that simply by taking to the process of devotional service, that actually purifies one of all the reactions. And one can surrender unto Krishna. So in that verse, Krishna is giving the assurance. You know, Krishna is giving an incentive that you surrender unto me. Do not fear, and I will take care of all the reactions. So you know, Krishna is giving Arjun that incentive. So by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are very fortunate to, you know, to directly engage in this process of devotional service, because this is actually the essence of the Vedas. You know, the essence of Vedic knowledge is to serve Krishna. You know, Jivera Surubhoye Krishna Ra Nityaras, that the jiva has to serve Krishna. This is the essence. So in the last verse, Krishna is 1866. Krishna is giving the essence. And sometimes we see, you know, people, they read like Bhagavad Gita, but they get stuck in one portion. They say, no, Krishna says here, you know, do karma yoga. You know, simply do duty. As in India, it's very commonly known. Just do your duty. So, but they don't hear what Krishna has to say at the end. Just like if somebody is instructing you, you will accept his last instruction to be the final instruction. You know, whatever he says at the end, that's the final instruction. So here, then Krishna is saying at the end, you simply surrender unto me. So actually, that is the final instruction of Krishna. And actually, to surrender unto Krishna actually requires very strong faith and love. You know, it's easier said than done. So, you know, to fully surrender unto Krishna is actually a development of one's faith in Krishna consciousness. So, simply disregarding the supplementary Vedic literatures does not mean that one has to fully reject them. In other words, throughout the Vedas, one will find this is the secondary Vedic principles. There's the primary Vedic principle, which is to, in other words, which is basically devotional service, which is to, you know, hear and chant and serve Krishna. That is the primary Vedic principle of. But there's the secondary principles also, which basically support the primary principle. So when it is said here to disregard Vedic literatures, that does not mean to reject them. Basically, to take principles which can support us. Actually, for you know, liberated souls, that is not required. Like we see, for example, Ambarish Maharaj. You know, he was a great king. He was performing so many yajnas, sacrifices. But he's a liberated soul, self-realized. But still, he was engaging in such activities. That was simply to, you know, because he's a king, and he's a king is meant to engage in prescribed duties, so he can lead his citizens, you know, unto the gradual spiritual development. So we see actually that liberated souls, they actually, you know, they perform the secondary principles just to set an example. And we even see like Arjun, Krishna told Arjun not to actually. Krishna told Arjun, you know, you don't, you know, okay, you know, you might not need to work and all that, but still you should perform your duty to set an example for others. And also, like in the I think first and second verse of this chapter, is interesting. It's mentioned that the many secondary principles of the Vedas were described, like, you know, austerity, charity, acceptance of vows, study. And actually, devotees only accept those which will support their Krishna consciousness. It's like, it's interesting in the Nectar Devotion and Hari Bhakti Vilas, it mentions that, you know, describes how one should brush their teeth. That, you know, one should brush their teeth properly. You know, simply by brushing your teeth, you know, you don't get bhakti. But actually, that is supportive of Krishna consciousness. You know, that item does support. Or like, you know, following of vows. Like, as devotees, we follow Ekadasi. So simply, one follows Ekadasi, he won't get, you know, bhakti in itself. But at the same time, Ekadasi is one of the principles of devotional service. You know, it has to be followed by, you know, there's a statement somewhere that if a Vaishnava doesn't follow Ekadasi, all his practice is useless. But in itself, it cannot award bhakti. You know, the bhakti comes by hearing, chanting, remembering, associating with devotees. So, but at the same, but these vows help us in our Krishna consciousness. So just like devotees might perform different austerities, as long as it supports their Krishna consciousness. You know, if you can sleep 5 hours a day and you're still, you know, fine mentally, you know, you don't bloop or go crazy, then that's fine, you know, as long as it is supporting. But if you need to take 7 hours sleep and you can, you know, perform Krishna consciousness in a steady frame of mind, then one needs 7 hours. So one has to judge what is required for oneself. So just like simply studying the books, one does not get bhakti, you know. One actually has to apply that. But that is actually favorable to the execution of Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, we don't have to reject the smritis and shruti, because that can be an offense. One has to simply intelligently take the principles which are favorable to support one in one's Krishna consciousness. And even in this purport, there's emphasis given on the association of devotees. And there's a verse in the previous chapter, it was mentioned that it is actually not possible to go back to Godhead without rendering service in the association of devotees. So and Krishna mentioned that if one can't do that, there's practically no hope for one to cross over material existence. So in other words, basically that is Krishna's system. You know, Krishna has created a system that Krishna wants to give the credit to his devotees. So, you know, so one has to practice devotional service in the association of devotees. And sometimes that can be quite difficult also. In one of the classes, the example was given is like, you know, all devotees, they're coming with various conditionings, different levels of conditionings. And it is like, you know, before there used to be a machine at the back of the old pot shed, was the potato peeler machine. So basically, it's like a big machine. You open that, put like, you know, 30, 40 potatoes and turn the tap on and it feeds water. And then the potatoes spin at very high speed. And they, you know, hit each other and hit the walls, and the final result is you get the potatoes come out smooth, shiny, and peeled. So the being in the association of devotees is like that. You know, it can be quite challenging. You know, because when we have the devotees, they expose our faults and conditionings, and it can be a bit hard to digest sometimes. But actually, if one somehow sticks through that, as we have seen in the example of so many senior devotees, you know. One comes out shiny and round. So basically, this is Krishna's system of you know. Krishna says, you know, if one can't do this, it's very hard to actually go back to Godhead. This is Krishna's system, and he likes to give devotees that credit. And like Krishna told Arjun, you know, okay, you just fight this war and you take the credit. You know, the Kauravas are already dead. The Kauravas are, you know, they're already dead. So you simply fight and take the credit. So Krishna gives this devotional service to the devotees, you know, the spreading of devotional service. And if Krishna wants, he can do it himself. But he lets the devotees, you know, preach Krishna consciousness, spread it and take the glory. So I was hearing in one lecture, it was mentioned what Maya tries to do. It tries to take the devotees out of the association. Try to take the devotee, because when one is in the association of devotees, one is very protected. You know, it is like you can't break a bunch of sticks, but if you take one stick, you can easily break it. So like that, when one is in the association of devotees, one is quite protected. So I was hearing my spiritual master's lecture, he was mentioning that first Maya tries to take the devotee out of devotional service, you know, give some excuse to move out of the association of devotees, move out of the ashram, or, you know, go somewhere very far away where one is out of touch with devotees. And then one is weak, then Maya tries, then Maya can easily break. It's like if you watch many wildlife documentaries, you see when I was in Africa, we used to go on these safari rides where you can actually, in a van, you can see how lions, they're hunting deer. So what they do, few of them come and they try to isolate one deer. And when, they scare the whole herd and then try to isolate one, and then they jump on that. And that way they catch one. So the basic principle is to take them out of that association. Because when they're in a group, they're very strong. But when they are single, it's easy to devour them. So like that, that's how also Maya works. Tries to take the devotee out of the association and then pounces on the devotee. And sometimes people say that everything is very well defined in the association of devotees. Everything is very regulated. If you read the books, if you read Nectar of Devotion, everything is very structured and regulated. This is how you perform devotional service, the regulated activities of sadhana bhakti, So they say there's so many offenses, and sometimes you talk to people, they say, I want to practice spirituality in my own way. That's why they don't want to accept the association of devotees. I want to take the best from different scriptures and I want to apply it in my own way. So this is all actually mental concoction. And then they create societies of mutual flattery, where they flatter each other and encourage each other how to perform, how to basically progress in spiritual life. So Krishna says in the previous chapter that one has to actually live in the association of devotees and practice devotional service. That way one can progress, not by one's mental speculation. Especially these days, this is very common. I'll take the best from all different religions, and I'm like a honeybee. I'll take the nectar from all different flowers and I'll apply what I want to. And it's very, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's that chapter of, there's the discussion between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, that actually elaborates on the theme of these verses we are reading. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's touring South India, and then he comes on the banks of the river Godavari, where he goes to a Lord Nrisimha temple, Jayadev Nrisimha Dev temple. So after he visits that, he goes to Vidyanagar on the banks of Godavari. And there, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him to meet Ramananda Rai. So there he sees Ramananda Rai coming. Somebody's practicing. It's like signaling a start of a war. So, in the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Ramananda Rai, and they embrace each other and they fall down in ecstasy. And then after a while, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they meet somewhere in seclusion, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Rai, he asks him a question before he can ask him a question. So he asks him to recite a verse from Vedic literature which concerns the ultimate goal of life. So he asks Ramananda Rai this question. And then Ramananda Rai immediately replies. And Ramananda Rai, he supports his statements by quotations from different Vedic literatures. So I can't quote all of those because I don't know, I can't remember them. But I'll describe basically what he mentions. That the first quotation he gives from Vedic literature, he says that one should execute basically prescribed duties and they awaken bhakti, Krishna consciousness. In other words, he's saying that one one follow Varnashram Dharma, and that will gradually give rise to Krishna consciousness, bhakti. So this is not the Varnashram Dharma like of which we know. It's not. This is not the Daivi Varnashram Dharma. This is the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasis. So this is basically the formal execution of rituals and religions, and the goal is to satisfy Vishnu. So in this, basically, the items of devotional service are not principal. Like what we do, hearing and chanting, this is not there. This is simply to execute one's duties, like the ones to perform this, the social occupations. Like a Brahmana, he'll study Vedic knowledge to know Brahman, to understand Brahman. A Kshatriya, because he wants to govern, he wants to lead, So he's engaged in warfare, administration. Then there's the Vaishya, cow protection, trade, business, all of that, economic development, that's Vaishya. And then Shudras, who can't do those three, they help them. So this is the occupational duty. Then there's the ashram duty, the spiritual advancement side. There's the Brahmacharya, there's the Grihastha, the Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. So they have different duties. So Ramananda Raya says that when one performs Varnashram Dharma, simply Vedic rituals and regulations, that will please Vishnu. Performance of Vedic rituals. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected that. And he rejected that, saying that this is external. That simply performing Vedic rituals and regulations of religions, this is all external. And actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that because it's actually hinting at karma mimamsa. That in other words, you perform your duty and then, Vishnu is obliged to give you the result. Simply performing duty. So in other words, that the super soul is under my control. The laws of nature are under the control of duty. So you simply do your duty. This is very common in India. You just do your duty and, everything good will happen to you. You just have to do your duty. So, and in one of the boat crews, I think 2 years ago, there was one lady, she said that Maharaj asked, so how many of you believe that if you simply, do your duties, you'll get all the results? And there was one lady, two, three people, and one lady said, okay, you just simply believe in the universe and then you'll fulfill all your desires. That's what basically she said. So in India still, India now all of this is still, it's quite perverted, So there is some, they have some conception, okay, you have to look after your parents, you have to, look after your children, get them married and all that, just do your duty. So this is, it's perverted, it's not exactly proper karma mimamsa, but there's some conception is there, there is some higher authority. If you simply do your duty, that higher authority is obliged to give you the results of your work. But now in the West we see all that is gone, You just basically do whatever you feel like doing, and the universe will take care of you. That's the Western version of that same karma mimamsa. Karma mimamsa is basically atheism. It's nothing but it's atheism. Very sophisticated form of atheism. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected that. Because there's no activity of devotional service and, there's no devotional service in that. So then Ramananda Rai, he went one level up. He quoted 927, Yad Karoshi, Yad Ashnashi. So he said, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you perform activities, whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering unto me. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that also. He said, this is also external. He said, this is external because in this one is, there is some amount of bhakti in that because one is offering the activities to Krishna. No, one is offering the results of, not the activities, sorry. One is offering the results of the activities to Krishna. But still, one does not surrender the activity to Krishna. And there is no information on how to get out of material existence. This is simply surrendering one's activities. Okay, if you are eating, I'll give that to Krishna first. Or whatever work I'm doing, I'll give some result to Krishna. But in that, there's no knowledge aspect, how to, you know, there's no discussion of the glories of the Lord. And one does not surrender one's activities in entirety to Krishna. So there's no hearing and chanting and glorifying the Lord. So that was also rejected. Then Ramananda Rai says, he goes one level up. He says, okay, you forsake occupational duties and by detachment you rise to the transcendental plane. In other words, basically renounce fruitive activities. That was the next level. That he even quotes actually this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. That you renounce all material activities. So in that verse then Ramananda says, okay, you renounce all fruitive activities, and but then he doesn't give the positive engagement. What to do? After you have renounced everything, what do you do? So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejects that also. Because renunciation in itself is not sufficient, you know, for God realization, to arise bhakti. Simply by renunciation one cannot get bhakti. One has to engage in the positive processes of bhakti. So that's lacking, so he rejected that. Then Ramananda Rai said, okay, you renounce results and be detached in Brahman realization. In other words, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati. He says, okay, you become detached, but at the same time you are liberated. But again, there's no positive activity there. There's no engagement. You know, one can be liberated, but if there's no positive activity, you know, one will come down to the material plane. And we see that in so many spiritual societies, they reject everything, you know. But again they come down to the material plane, open hospitals, you know, engage in political activities, because the nature of the self is to engage in variety. So that aspect is lacking. So even if one is, you know, Brahman realized, if that devotional service into Krishna is lacking, the practitioner will come down. So that was rejected because there's no positive engagement of hearing and chanting and serving the Lord. Then Ramananda Rai said, to render devotional service without any attempt of cultivation of philosophical knowledge or mental speculation is the highest stage of perfection. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually accepted this. Because, in other words, he's saying, be wherever you are, doesn't matter in which ashram you are, brahmachari, grihastha, you know, no matter what occupation you're doing. These days, we hardly see any varnashram. So, no matter in what material status we are, no matter in what material position we are, so just stay there and perform the activities of devotional service under the guidance of a realized devotee. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted this. And that's what actually we can see, that's what the current situation is, like, you know, we see in ISKCON. We don't follow the Varnashram Dharma very strictly, you know, the rules of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, you know, Brahman, Kshatriya, it's not very strictly followed. Only the items which are supportive to Krishna consciousness are taken. You know, but the core of Krishna consciousness is to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, serve Krishna. Like Ambarish Maharaji engaged all his senses in the 9 activities of devotional service. So basically that is the essence of this movement. And this verse actually talks about that. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he asks Ramananda Rai to elaborate on that. And then he says, attainment of love of God is the highest perfectional stage one can attain. And Ramananda Rai gives a, he has this verse. He says, as long as one is hungry, there is hunger and thirst in the belly. Whatever you give to eat, that person will be happy by eating that. You know, whatever eatable he obtains, he'll be happy by eating that. So similarly, you know, we can perform all the rituals and everything, just like, you know, you're doing aarti, it's basically a ritual. But if that love is there, then that becomes devotional service. You know, if that love is there in that. So if when that love is there, it transforms into bhakti. And then basically, Ramananda Rai describes the goal of Krishna consciousness and how to attain it through sadhana bhakti. And then he further on goes to explain that when love of God further develops, it transforms into prema. And when even prema further develops, the devotee engages in one of the five relationships with Krishna. So it's neutrality, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. So in dasya is the servitor. You know, there is affection, but it is not so great. And there is the master and servant. And like example is Ambarish Maharaj, and it is based on awe and reverence. And when affection further increases, it transforms into sakya. So sakya, the affection increases and the awe and reverence decreases. There's like a platform of equality. And like we can see in Vrindavan, Krishna and his cowherd friends, they would go to picnics and they would eat together, you know. And they would joke around with Krishna, play with Krishna, jump on his back, like that. So this is friendship. This is all what happens in friendship. So, you know, this is all based on, you know, the platform of love of God. And then there is vatsalya. Again, affection even increases more. It transforms into relationship between Krishna and the devotee. The devotee takes the role of a parent. And when that increases, it transforms into madhurya. And that we can see in the previous verses, Krishna describes the love of the gopis. Because that is actually the highest perfectional stage one can attain in Krishna consciousness. And the madhurya rasa includes all the other rasas. And the basic rasa in all of them is dasya. So we'll stop here and see if there are any questions and comments or corrections. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, before that was. Before, yeah. He was emphasizing the renunciation side of renounce the fruitive activities, but he didn't stress on surrendering unto Krishna.
In
when he quoted that verse, Sarva Dharman. He said that after quoting, you know, Yadashnosi, Yadjahasi, that, you know, whatever you do, whatever you eat, then he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects that, and then he quotes this one, and another verse also from somewhere, I can't remember, in which he's emphasizing renunciation of all activities is the highest perfection one can achieve. But again, there is no description of the positive engagement of activities in Krishna consciousness. So in that sense it was quoted, and that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it. And then after that he goes, you know, Brahman realization, in which one is free from material contamination. But again, in that also there is no positive engagement, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects that also. Any other questions? Antra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.